朋友们大家好，今天是5月7号星期四，欢迎收看美国观察。美国国务院国际组织事务局发出了一系列推文，赞扬台湾在此次新冠病毒疫情中的成就，另外还表示支持台湾参加世界卫生大会。我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
今年的世界卫生大会预定5月17到21号举行。随着世界卫生大会年会即将举行，美国加大支持台湾的力度。从5月1号开始，美国国务院国际组织事务局展开一系列的推文，加上了为台湾发推台湾模式的标签。美国国务院发言人在接受美国之音采访时呼吁世卫组织让台湾成为世卫大会的观察员。
Yeah, we see Taiwan as they're a democratic success story. They're a reliable ally. And we know that Taiwan is a force for good in the world. Here at the State Department, we continue to work closely with Taiwan. We've actually looked quite closely at how they have handled the pandemic. There's been lots of independent reporting about how they were prepared for the pandemic because of their own experience with SARS. They knew early to be careful and suspect of the information that they were receiving from the WHO and the Chinese Communist Party, and therefore they took action early. We're also watching closely as they decide to open up and learning from them best practices on how to deal with this pandemic. This is what friends and partners do. And we also continue to call for Taiwan to have meaningful participation in the WHO.
美国国务院国际组织事务局的推文指出，加入我们为台湾发推，让台湾参与即将来临的世界卫生大会，分享打击新冠病毒疫情的非凡专业。全世界需要台湾来一同对抗新冠病毒疫情，告诉世界卫生组织，现在是台湾的声音被听见的时候了。还有推文说，台湾致力于促进科学合作和对抗健康威胁的透明度。有一个推文问，当全球讨论新冠病毒疫情以及其他对全球健康的威胁时，美国坚信台湾应该参与并且出席。在2017年之前，北京并不反对台湾以观察员身份加入世卫大会，发生了什么变化？另一个推文说，让台湾被允许与世界各国分享他们的专业知识以及他们的承诺，难道是过分的要求？这个世界会屈服于中国的压力和威胁吗？现在是让自己的声音被听到的时候了。美国的一个中国政策主张两岸自行和平解决双方的差异，并且鼓励两岸在尊严以及互相尊重的基础上进行建设性对话。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
后任美国国家情报总监的拉特克里夫星期二出席了关于他的人事提名确认听证会。他表示说，如果他获得确认的话，美国的情报界将集中精力调查新冠病毒的起源。我们来看美国之音国会记者李怡华的报道。
来自德克萨斯州的共和党众议员拉特克里夫在出席决定他是否能成为新任美国国家情报总监的确认听证会上表示，如果他的提名获得确认，他的首要任务将是查明新冠病毒的起源。
I believe the immediate focus of the IC must be directed to the geopolitical and economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic, as well as its origins. The American people deserve answers, and if confirmed, I pledge that the IC will remain laser focused on providing them.
现年54岁的拉特克里夫同时是众议院情报委员会的成员。他在听证会上说，他认为中国是美国最大的威胁者。他还列举了一系列美国所面临的各种挑战，全部都指向一个国家，那就是中国。
Making sure as we look at the national intelligence framework and whether we're committing enough resources to the rising power that is China. When you look at the initiatives that they have, the Belt and Road, the Made in China 2025, all of the military civil fusion initiative, where they literally want by law Chinese companies to collect intelligence. These are all spokes of the same initiative, and that's for China to supplant us as the world's superpower and to be able to set standards around the world. And we very clearly don't want an authoritarian regime like the Chinese Communist Party setting standards in the world marketplace. And so
拉特克里夫还说，美国眼下所面临的威胁格局是多样的、多形态的，地缘位置也是分散的，这些情况都更甚于以往。拉特克里夫的确认听证会同时也是国会参议院首场在符合新社交距离指导方针的情况下召开的听证会。除了议员席位间隔拉大至规定的6英尺距离外，有些议员选择戴口罩提问质询，现场也没有开放民众旁听，而是进行网络直播。二度获得特朗普总统提名的拉特克里夫一直以来在国会当中被视为是立场偏保守的共和党成员，也多次在特朗普总统的弹劾案中发声力挺特朗普。虽然部分民主党参议员仍然对于拉特克里夫是否能够维持情报机构运作的独立性保持着怀疑的态度，不过参议院情报委员会主席伯尔已经表示，他认为拉特克里夫已经证明了自己能够秉持着独立性来履行职务。拉特克里夫的这项人事提名有望最快在下个星期就举行委员会表决。以上是美国之音记者李一华、钟瑞哲在国会山的采访报道。
美国国防部长埃斯珀星期二指责中国从新冠疫情爆发的初期就不透明，宣传不实信息，并且试图推卸责任，改善形象。来看报道。
美国国防部长埃斯珀星期二在五角大楼的记者会上说，中国正在趁世界聚焦新冠病毒疫情的时机，采取损害他国利益的行为。
While the Chinese Communist Party ramps up its disinformation campaign to try to shift blame and burnish its image, we continue to see aggressive behavior by the PLA in the South China Sea, from threatening a Philippine Navy ship to sinking a Vietnamese fishing boat.And intimidating other nations from engaging in offshore oil and gas development. Last week, two U.S. Navy ships conducted freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea to send a clear message to Beijing that we will continue to protect freedom of navigation and commerce for all nations, large and small. I want to assure the American people and our allies that the United States military remains fully ready and capable to deter every threat.Protect the homeland and safeguard our interests abroad.
埃斯珀还指责中国在疫情上从一开始就不透明，并加大不实信息的宣传力度，试图转嫁责任，改善形象。
The Chinese have not been transparent from the beginning. If they had been more transparent, more open up front in terms of the giving us access, the reporting, giving us access not just to the people on the ground, but to the virus they had so we could understand it, we'd probably be in a far different place right now.But where we are now is this. They need to still allow us in to talk to early patients, to talk to the Chinese researchers and scientists, and to have access. What are they doing? They're trying to capitalize on this by promoting their own image. That somehow China is the good guy here because despite everything they did, or more importantly, failed to do, now they want to go out and say, well, here's masks. We'll give you masks. We'll provide this. We'll provide that. We'll provide you funding.Look at all the good we're doing. Yet what we know is this, is that they provide masks, they provide supplies. In many cases, it is not good. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It's broken equipment. The strings attached are enormous in many cases. So they're telling a country here, you can take these masks, but please put out publicly how good China is, how great we're doing, et cetera, et cetera.
Men and women of the Joint Force.
埃斯珀说，中国很明显正在威逼利诱，并利用其他一切手段试图影响舆论，改善中国共产党的形象。美国之音新闻报道。
美国总统特朗普说，未来几个星期白宫打算逐渐解散新冠病毒小组。他还表示说，在重启经济的初期，民众依然要保持社交距离以及勤洗手等指导方针。他还坦诚说，可能会有更多死亡。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄洋溢的报道。
截至美国时间5月6号星期三为止呢，美国境内感染了新型冠状病毒的确诊人数达到了大约124万人，而死亡人数呢则约是72000人。那么在5月5号星期二，彭斯副总统表示将会逐渐解散白宫的新型冠状病毒工作小组。特朗普总统之前每天都会率领新冠工作小组在白宫的新闻简报室当中召开记者会，不过呢，从4月24号之后就没有继续。星期二的下午，特朗普总统 统前往位于亚利桑那州的 Honeywell 口罩工厂视察，在当中呢，他证实有解散工作小组的打算。我们看看特朗普总统是怎么说的。
So I think that as far as the task force, Mike Pence and the task force have done a great job, but we're now looking at a little bit of a different form, and that form is safety and opening, and we'll have a different group probably set up for that.
Are you saying mission accomplished?
No, not at all. The mission accomplished is when it's over. When it's over, Jim, mission accomplished. No, I wouldn't say that at all.
而根据白宫官员的说法呢，之后由这个彭斯副总统率领的工作小组将不会每天开会。而白宫的发言人麦克奈尼在推特上则说呢，医疗专家们会持续的参加安全重启经济活动的讨论。本个星期一开始呢，许多州已经开始重启了经济活动，但是当中大多数都还没有达到白宫新冠工作小组发布的三阶段重启方案的最低标准，这也引发了医疗专家的担忧，会导致未来的几个星期确诊人数以及死亡人数的上升。特朗普总统在参观完 Honeywell 的工厂之后，接受了美国广播公司主播戴维·缪尔 David Muir 的专访，他坦承重启经济可能会造成某些人民的损失。那么在这个专访当中呢，戴维·缪尔是问特朗普总统说，你是否相信重启全国经济活动是否将导致生命的丧失？特朗普总统回应说，可能会有一些，因为大家不再被封锁在室内，但与此同时我们会进行社交隔离，会洗手，会做很多我们在这段期间学习到的事情。美国境内呢，因为缺乏口罩、呼吸器等医疗设备来因应疫情，而特朗普总统呢，原本不愿意动用国防生产法，说这样呢是把企业纳为国有，美国就会像委内瑞拉一样变成社会主义国家。不过随着疫情越来越严重，特朗普总统最终动用了国防生产法，要求 3M 公司生产口罩，也来要求因为员工爆发了群聚感染的美国肉类工厂要重新开工等等。特朗普总统在星期二说，这个疫情呢，更彰显了把供应链从国外转回美国的重要性。我们看一下特朗普总统是怎么说的。
This pandemic has underscored the vital importance of reshoring our supply chains and constructing a powerful domestic manufacturing base. I've been talking about that for a long time. Oftentimes you'd see a plant like this in a different country doing the work you could be doing and you'll do it better.The United States declared its independence nearly 250 years ago, but in recent decades, Washington politicians allowed our independence to be offshored, outsourced, and ceded to foreign countries. But we're taking it back, and we've been taking it back.
美国商会会长唐纳修在2004年的时候曾经说过，工作外包有正当的理由，包括获得美国本土没有的技术以及经验，降低商品价格等等。而许多的美国企业都将生产线外包到其他国家，包括科技公司如苹果、微软等产品。那特朗普总统以及他女儿、白宫资深顾问伊万卡·特朗普的服装品牌，还有连特朗普酒店里面的物件，很多也是在中国制造的。那么2017年1月24号，民主党参议员唐纳利曾经提出终止外包法案，但是没有通过。那么在2020年3月10号，美国民主党参议员吉利布兰德则再次提出了这个禁止外包的法案。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
将在为2020年高中毕业生举办的一个小时的电视节目中发表讲话，我们一起去看一看。
星期二，美国广播公司、哥伦比亚广播公司、福克斯、全球广播公司以及20多家电视与数字流媒体发表声明说，5月16号东岸时间晚上8点，他们将同步播出一场特别节目。 参加节目的包括几位芝加哥公立学校的高中生和奥巴马青年就业团成员，以及强纳斯兄弟、亚拉沙西迪、坏皮兔、丽娜怀特、法瑞尔威廉姆斯、梅根拉皮诺和 HER。
So how to meet these threats while also seizing the incredible opportunities of this moment in history? That's going to be your challenge. The challenge of your generation. Which leads me to a second lesson. As we navigate this complex world, America cannot shirk the mantle of leadership. We can't be isolationists. It's not possible in this globalized, interconnected world. And in these uncertain times, it's tempting sometimes to pull back and to try to wash our hands of conflicts that seem intractable, let other countries fend for themselves. But history teaches us, from Pearl Harbor to 9/11, that oceans alone cannot protect us.
这个节目的名称是《一起毕业：美国表彰2020年高中毕业生》，由教育倡导组织 XQ 学院、勒布朗詹姆斯家族基金会和娱乐业基金会主办。奥巴马将对新冠病毒大流行对学校生活的影响进行反思，特别是为那些错过毕业典礼这个里程碑仪式的毕业生打气。美国之音新闻报道。
新冠隔离措施使得许多2020年的毕业生无法参加毕业典礼，许多的美国高校想出了办法，他们有的推迟了毕业典礼举行的时间，有的采取了虚拟典礼的措施。来看报道。
对于朱莉安娜·贝恩来说，她在康奈尔大学学习的四年间充满了兴奋和艰苦的努力。贝恩真的很期待毕业的到来，庆祝她大学生涯成功结束的仪式原本定于五月举行。
Graduation is 3 days long. There's a lot of events, but the main events are convocation and then our major ceremonies. So during commencement, the convocation speaker addresses the entire class, and this is usually a famous person. In the past, we've had Vice President Joe Biden, actor James Franco, and like Bill Nye, the science guy.
贝恩像其他成千上万的毕业生一样，没有盼来通知参加开学典礼的邮件。而是得到了活动已经取消的通知。
We knew that May graduation was going to be canceled a little bit earlier than we got the official announcement, since a lot of other Ivy League schools had already been announcing cancellations.
从三月起，一些大学如耶鲁、哥伦比亚和麻省理工学院等就纷纷宣布取消毕业典礼。现在的挑战是如何在家庆祝这一天。哈佛大学在网上举办所有官方的活动。约翰霍普金斯大学高级国际研究学院也将如此。
We would do a virtual ceremony, but we also have promised the students that when it's possible to bring people back together physically, we'll have something. We don't know what that something is because we don't, of course, know when we can all be together physically.
尽管高校的官方活动将在未来举行，但现在确定具体日期还为时过早。例如，波士顿大学正在考虑将其校门关闭到2021年1月。美国高校协会主席林恩·帕斯奎拉表示，取消典礼不仅令毕业生失望，也让整个教育体系感到沮丧。
Commencement ceremonies are important, not only because they celebrate the academic accomplishments of graduates, but because they bring community together around shared traditions. And it's often a celebration that coincides with reunions, and so alumni can come back onto campuses and reflect on the ways in which their lives were transformed through higher education.
毕业生表示，他们理解学校根据疫情所做的决定，并希望从网上体验中获取最大收益。美国之音迭戈茨，华盛顿报道。
最近，一艘无人驾驶的飞船给国际空间站送去了几吨的物资。另一方面，哈勃望远镜则迎来了升空30周年的纪念日。
一艘俄罗斯运货飞船从哈萨克斯坦的发射台发射升空，运载了将近3公吨的物资。三个多小时以后，它与国际空间站对接，并将在那里停留至12月。与此同时，4月24日是哈勃望远镜发射进入轨道30周年纪念日。
The Space Shuttle Discovery with the Hubble Space Telescope, our window on the universe.
这座人类第一台太空望远镜数十年来提供了壮观的景象。哈勃望远镜最初的黑白相机配备了滤镜，可以分别捕捉纯红、纯蓝或纯绿色的图像。 这些图片叠加起来就为我们带来了今天所看到的彩色照片。保尔·赫茨博士对美国之音说，
Hubble has made a number of astounding discoveries in astronomy and astrophysics that have changed the way we see the universe. It was with Hubble that we determined that the universe is 13.8 billion years old.
哈勃望远镜已经进行了五次升级，并在2005年捕获了这张蟹状星云图像。赫茨称那是他最喜欢的。他说哈勃拍摄的照片能改变地球上的生命。
The software that astronomers have you developed to find the most information in Hubble images is now being used in the medical profession to analyze CAT scans and search for tumors.
赫茨说，哈勃在1990年的预期寿命为五年，但是由于升级和维护，它很可能在整个2020年的十年间保持运行。他说，由于新冠病毒大流行，目前控制哈勃望远镜的操作员都在家里工作，因此望远镜的30岁生日庆典不得不推迟。美国之音记者阿拉巴萨迪，华盛顿报道。
亚洲巨型大黄蜂因为身体硕大而又有致命的毒液，故而被称为杀手大黄蜂，已经在美国的华盛顿州首次露面。来看报道。
数以百计的亚洲大黄蜂已经首次出现在美国，该昆虫因其大小和致命毒液而被称为杀手大黄蜂，是世界上最大的大黄蜂，最长可达2英寸半。现在它们在华盛顿州接近加拿大边境的地区出现了。该州农业官员斯文·埃里克·斯皮奇格说，这种致命昆虫的入侵对蜜蜂乃至人类构成重大的威胁。
The first detection was in Washington State was December 8th and was turned in by a homeowner near Blaine, which is up by the Canadian border. And it's a fairly significant detection because Asian giant hornet has been on our watch list because of its, basically because of its known activity of killing entire honeybee hives.
斯皮奇格警告说，如果大黄蜂开始在美国各地蔓延，将会对授粉和农业系统造成灾难性的影响。只要几只大黄蜂就能够在几个小时内消灭整个蜂巢，并用断头的方式杀死蜜蜂，然后再把蜂巢据为己有，用来养育自己的幼虫。斯皮奇格说，大黄蜂特别危险的地方是它们在地面的巢穴十分隐蔽。
We really don't want any private citizen trying to mess with an Asian giant hornet nest. Typical beekeeping attire simply will not protect you. The stinger on this insect is 6 millimeters long and will go readily through most cloths.
斯皮奇格说，任何人只要发现巢穴，都应立即向当局发出警报。尽管大黄蜂通常不会以人为目标，但是他们在受到威胁时仍会发动攻击。
An Asian giant hornet will sting you multiple times and can sting you multiple times and deliver larger doses of venom just because of the size of them.
科学家们不确定这种杀手大黄蜂是如何进入华盛顿州的。他们说最可能的情况是大黄蜂躲进了集装箱，而集装箱货轮最后又停靠在了华盛顿的一个港口上。斯皮奇格说，在发现第一只大黄蜂之后，又有数百人报告说发现了大黄蜂。美国之音电视新闻。
佛罗里达州将浪费数十亿美元的食物，在新冠疫情期间，由于物流和供应受到影响，很多的蔬菜和水果没有办法运往餐厅和超市，许多农民只能任其烂在地里。
佛罗里达州以数千公里的美丽海滩闻名，也有得天独厚的气候和土壤，那里盛产美国最好的水果和蔬菜。佛州有超过47000个商业农场，从柑橘、豆类到浆果应有尽有。佛罗里达优越的气候和土壤吸引意大利美国人黎麦勒家族于1930年代从波士顿搬迁到这里。当年十几岁的多米尼克、约瑟夫、安东尼三兄弟开卡车卖水果，他们的生意居然成功了。他们开了头一家商店，接着又是一家。1945年，他们得以购进第一座商用农场。
I'm a grandson of one of the founders. My grandfather, who I'm named after, Anthony, and his two brothers started the company, a 91-year-old company. Myself, my brothers and cousins are third generation in the family business. My father and his cousin, the two respective presidents for the Florida and California operations, are still very actively involved. I think we still have about 10 family members involved in the family business.
如今，迪麦勒农场在加利福尼亚 德克萨斯、亚利桑那、宾夕法尼亚和马萨诸塞等几个州种植水果和蔬菜。最早受到新冠疫情影响的是该企业在佛州的番茄农场。
And unfortunately, because of the timing of the pandemic, with restaurants and the food service sector shutting down, 80% of our business is typically to the food service sector, the school systems, restaurants, cruise ship industry, the theme parks. So when the pandemic started and those sectors closed down, we were kind of dead in the water, so to speak.
佛罗里达有数以千计的农场都经历了迪麦勒的困境。他们竭尽所能应对局面，有些将食物提供给穷人或失业者，有些则以跳水价格出售产品。美国政府已拨款3490亿美元支持小企业，并保持工人的薪水。另外95亿美元用于帮助因疫情而遭受损失的奶牛场和农场。鉴于封锁措施没有确定的结束日期，佛州的农民只盼着新冠病毒能在夏季减轻。
On top of the seasonal changes, social distancing could help bring the reproduction number below one. So synergistically, yes, but not seasonal changes alone. And I think that's consistent with what we've seen from other parts of the world where they are having ongoing transmission. Despite either being in the southern hemisphere, like Australia or and southern Africa that are outside the tropics or being in the tropics and having in many ways summer-like weather.
但是没有人可以肯定的预测，这也让像迪麦勒这样的企业面临破产的风险。美国之音安妮斯莫娃，迈阿密报道。
由于新冠病毒大流行，职业体育遭受了很大的损失，职业运动员也面临困境，因为他们没有办法按照正常的方式进行训练。来看报道。
数十个国家采取的针对新冠病毒的严格检验措施，已经导致全球众多体育赛事的取消和推迟，甚至将2020年日本夏季奥运会也推迟了一年。许多体育组织遭受了巨大的财务损失，美国橄榄球甚至申请破产，因为无法应对新冠病毒疫情造成的财务损失。
Then to have athletes that are simply locked in their houses, not able to train, not able to use public facilities.
对于职业网球选手库德里亚夫塞娃来说，2020年应该是丰收的一年，因为今年他规划在产后重返职业赛，而三月份在一系列大型网球比赛，包括温布尔登网球公开赛取消后，他意识到现在情况已经大不一样了。他无法环游世界，而是在家和丈夫跟宝贝女儿待在波士顿家里。
I'm trying to take this time and just focus on getting physically better. I'm trying not to stress too much about not playing tennis. Trying to stay calm and hope for better things to come and to be even better prepared when the situation presents itself.
职业排球运动员乔西亚·拜尔斯在希腊的大型锦标赛取消后，不得不回到加利福尼亚。现在他几乎没有机会进行适当的训练。
Like the apartment complex that I'm in, like the gym is closed, so you know we don't have that much access to you know certain weight trainings that we normally would have in other places, so we have to.Kind of make our own workouts at home. People who dedicated so much time into their sports, like suddenly just have to stop. And you know, some people, you know, it was like their last year, and now they can't finish it. And so,
但是许多运动员认为这种疫情大流行并不应是感到沮丧的原因。著名的足球运动员、网球运动员和田径运动员开始使用在线快闪，跟他们的粉丝保持联系。分享他们的日常锻炼方式，并进行慈善工作。
We're sportsmen. We have responsibilities to you because you support us. And now is the time when we cannot fail you. Together with Pau Gasol, we're launching an initiative that will unite all professional athletes and help the Red Cross. Our goal is to raise 11 million euro to help those who suffered from the crisis.
如果说竞争心态教给了职业运动员什么，他们就会说，那就是没有障碍，只有挑战。全世界将渡过难关。美国之音记者穆斯卡尔科夫，华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。 友们，大家好，今天是5月7号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国务院国际组织事务局发出了一系列推文，赞扬台湾在此次新冠病毒疫情中的成就，另外还表示支持台湾参加世界卫生大会。我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
今年的世界卫生大会预定5月17到21号举行。随着世界卫生大会年会即将举行，美国加大支持台湾的力度。从5月1号开始，美国国务院国际组织事务局展开一系列的推文，加上了为台湾发推台湾模式的标签。美国国务院发言人在接受美国之音采访时呼吁世卫组织让台湾成为世卫大会的观察员。
Yeah, we see Taiwan as a, they're a democratic success story. They're a reliable ally. And we know that Taiwan is a force for good in the world. Here at the State Department, we continue to work closely with Taiwan. We've actually looked quite closely at how they have handled the pandemic. There's been lots of independent reporting about how they were prepared for the pandemic because of their own experience with SARS. They knew early to be careful and suspect of the information that they were receiving from the WHO and the Chinese Communist Party, and therefore they took action early. We're also watching closely as they decide to open up and learning from them best practices on how to deal with this pandemic. This is what friends and partners do. And we also continue to call for Taiwan to have meaningful participation in the WHO.
美国国务院国际组织事务局的推文指出，加入我们为台湾发推，让台湾参与即将来临的世界卫生大会，分享打击新冠病毒疫情的非凡专业。全世界需要台湾来一同对抗新冠病毒疫情，告诉世界卫生组织，现在是台湾的声音被听见的时候了。还有推文说，台湾致力于促进科学合作和对抗健康威胁的透明度。有一个推文问，当全球讨论新冠病毒疫情以及其他对全球健康的威胁时，美国坚信台湾应该参与并且出席。在2017年之前，北京并不反对台湾以观察员身份加入世卫大会，发生了什么变化？另一个推文说，让台湾被允许与世界各国分享他们的专业知识以及他们的承诺，难道是过分的要求？这个世界会屈服于中国的压力和威胁吗？现在是让自己的声音被听到的时候了。美国的一个中国政策主张两岸自行和平解决双方的差异，并且鼓励两岸在尊严以及互相尊重的基础上进行建设性对话。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
后任美国国家情报总监的拉特克里夫星期二出席了关于他的人事提名确认听证会。他表示说，如果他获得确认的话，美国的情报界将集中精力调查新冠病毒的起源。我们来看美国之音国会记者李怡华的报道。
来自德克萨斯州的共和党众议员拉特克里夫在出席决定他是否能成为新任美国国家情报总监的确认听证会上表示，如果他的提名获得确认，他的首要任务将是查明新冠病毒的起源。
I believe the immediate focus of the IC must be directed to the geopolitical and economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic, as well as its origins. The American people deserve answers, and if confirmed, I pledge that the IC will remain laser focused on providing them.
现年54岁的拉特克里夫同时是众议院情报委员会的成员。他在听证会上说，他认为中国是美国最大的威胁者。他还列举了一系列美国所面临的各种挑战，全部都指向一个国家，那就是中国。
Making sure as we look at the national intelligence framework and whether we're committing enough resources to the rising power that is China. When you look at the initiatives that they have, the Belt and Road, the Made in China 2025, all of the military civil fusion initiative, where they literally want by law Chinese companies to collect intelligence. These are all spokes of the same initiative, and that's for China to supplant us as the world's superpower and to be able to set standards around the world. And we very clearly don't want an authoritarian regime like the Chinese Communist Party setting standards in the world marketplace. And so,
拉特克里夫还说， 美国眼下所面临的威胁格局是多样的、多形态的，地缘位置也是分散的，这些情况都更甚于以往。拉特克里夫的确认听证会同时也是国会参议院首场在符合新社交距离指导方针的情况下召开的听证会。除了议员席位间隔拉大至规定的六英尺距离外，有些议员选择戴口罩提问质询， 现场也没有开放民众旁听，而是进行网络直播。二度获得特朗普总统提名的拉特克里夫一直以来在国会当中被视为是立场偏保守的共和党成员，也多次在特朗普总统的弹劾案中发声力挺特朗普。虽然部分民主党参议员仍然对于拉特克里夫是否能够维持情报机构运作的独立性保持着怀疑的态度，不过参议院情报委员会主席博尔已经表示，他认为拉特克里夫已经证明了自己能够秉持着 独立性来履行职务。拉特克里夫的这项人事提名有望最快在下个星期就举行委员会表决。以上是美国之音记者李怡华、钟瑞哲在国会山的采访报道。美国国防部长埃斯珀星期二指责中国从新冠疫情爆发的初期就不透明，宣传不实信息，并且试图推卸责任，改善形象。来看报道。
美国国防部长埃斯珀星期二在五角大楼的记者会上说，中国正在趁世界聚焦新冠病毒疫情的时机，采取损害他国利益的行为。While
the Chinese Communist Party ramps up its disinformation campaign to try to shift blame and burnish its image, we continue to see aggressive behavior by the PLA in the South China Sea, from threatening a Philippine Navy ship to sinking a Vietnamese fishing boat and intimidating other nations from engaging in offshore oil and gas development. Last week, two U.S. Navy ships conducted freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea to send a clear message to Beijing that we will continue to protect freedom of navigation and commerce for all nations, large and small. I want to assure the American people and our allies that the United States military remains fully ready and capable to deter every threat, protect the homeland, and safeguard our interests abroad.
埃斯珀还指责中国在疫情上从一开始就不透明，并加大不实信息的宣传力度，试图转嫁责任，改善形象。
The Chinese have not been transparent from the beginning. If they had been more transparent, more open up front in terms of the giving us access, the reporting, giving us access not just to the people on the ground, but to the virus they had so we could understand it, we'd probably be in a far different place right now. But where we are now is this. They need to still allow us in to talk to early patients, to talk to the Chinese researchers and scientists, and to have access. What are they doing? They're trying to capitalize on this by promoting their own image, that somehow China is the good guy here because despite everything they did, or more importantly, failed to do, now they want to go out and say, well, here's masks. We'll give you masks. We'll provide this. We'll provide that. We'll provide you funding. Look at all the good we're doing. Yet what we know is this, is that they provide masks, they provide supplies. In many cases, it is not good. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It's broken equipment. They also are, the strings attached are enormous in many cases. So they're telling a country here, you can take these masks, but please put out publicly how good China is, how great we're doing, et cetera, et cetera.
Men and women of the Joint Force.
埃斯珀说，中国很明显正在威逼利诱，并利用其他一切手段试图影响舆论，改善中国共产党的形象。美国之音新闻报道。美国总统特朗普说，未来几个星期，白宫打算逐渐解散新冠病毒小组。他还表示说，在重启经济的初期，民众依然要保持社交距离以及勤洗手等指导方针。他还坦承说，可能会有更多死亡。 我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄洋溢的报道。截至美国时间5月6号星期三为止呢，美国境内感染了新型冠状病毒的确诊人数达到了大约124万人，而死亡人数呢，则约是7万2000人。那么在5月5号星期二，彭斯副总统表示将会逐渐解散白宫的新型冠状病毒工作小组。特朗普总统之前每天都会率领新冠工作小组在白宫的新闻简报室当中召开记者会，不过呢，从4月24号之后就没有继续。星期二的下午，特朗普总统
动，前往位于亚利桑那州的 Honeywell 口罩工厂视察，在当中呢，他证实有解散工作小组的打算。我们看一下特朗普总统是怎么说的。
So I think that as far as the task force, Mike Pence and the task force have done a great job, but we're now looking at a little bit of a different form, and that form is safety and opening, and we'll have a different group probably set up for that.
Are you saying mission accomplished?
No, not at all. The mission accomplished is when it's over. When it's over, Jim, mission accomplished. No, I wouldn't say that at all.
而根据白宫官员的说法呢，之后由这个彭斯副总统率领的工作小组将不会每天开会。而白宫的发言人麦克奈尼在推特上则说呢，医疗专家们会持续的参加安全重启经济活动的讨论。本个星期开始呢，许多州已经开始重启了经济活动，但是当中大多数都还没有达到白宫新冠工作小组发布的三阶段重启方案的最低标准，这也引发了医疗专家的担忧，会导致未来的几个星期确诊人数以及死亡人数的上升。特朗普总统在参观完 Honeywell 的工厂之后，接受了美国广播公司主播戴维缪尔 David Muir 的专访，他坦诚重启经济可能会造成某些人民的损失。那么在这个专访当中呢，戴维缪尔是问特朗普总统说，你是否相信重启全国经济活动是否将导致生命的丧失。特朗普总统回应说，可能会有一些，因为大家不再被封锁在室内，但与此同时我们会进行社交隔离，会洗手，会做很多我们在这段期间学习到的事情。美国境内呢，因为缺乏口罩、呼吸器等医疗设备来因应疫情，而特朗普总统呢，原本不愿意动用国防生产法，说这样呢是把企业纳为国有，美国就会像委内瑞拉一样变成社会主义国家。不过随着疫情越来越严重，特朗普总统最终动用了国防生产法，要求 3M 公司生产口罩，也来要求因为员工爆发了群聚感染的美国肉类工厂要重新开工等等。特朗普总统在星期二说，这个疫情呢，更彰显了把供应链从国外转回美国的重要性。我们看一下特朗普总统是怎么说的。
This pandemic has underscored the vital importance of reshoring our supply chains and constructing a powerful domestic manufacturing base. I've been talking about that for a long time. Oftentimes you'd see a plant like this in a different country doing the work you could be doing and you'll do it better.The United States declared its independence nearly 250 years ago, but in recent decades, Washington politicians allowed our independence to be offshored, outsourced, and ceded to foreign countries. But we're taking it back, and we've been taking it back.
美国商会会长唐纳修在2004年的时候曾经说过，工作外包有正当的理由，包括获得美国本土没有的技术以及经验，降低商品价格等等。而许多的美国企业都将生产线外包到其他国家，包括科技公司如苹果、微软等产品。那特朗普总统以及他女儿、白宫资深顾问伊万卡特朗普的服装品牌，还有连特朗普酒店里面的物件，很多也是在中国制造的。那么2017年1月24号，民主党参议员唐纳利曾经提出终止外包法案，但是没有通过。那么在2020年3月10号，美国民主党参议员吉利布兰德则再次提出了这个禁止外包的法案。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
将在为2020年高中毕业生举办的一个小时的电视节目中发表讲话，我们一起去看一看。
星期二，美国广播公司、哥伦比亚广播公司、福克斯、全球广播公司以及20多家电视与数字流媒体发表声明说，5月16号东岸时间晚上8点，他们将同步播出一场特别节目。
参加节目的包括几位芝加哥公立学校的高中生和奥巴马青年就业团成员，以及乔纳斯兄弟、亚拉沙西迪、坏皮兔、丽娜怀特、法瑞尔威廉姆斯、梅根拉皮诺和 HER。
So how to meet these threats while also seizing the incredible opportunities of this moment in history? That's going to be your challenge. The challenge of your generation. Which leads me to a second lesson. As we navigate this complex world, America cannot shirk the mantle of leadership. We can't be isolationists. It's not possible in this globalized, interconnected world. In these uncertain times, it's tempting sometimes to pull back and to try to wash our hands of conflicts that seem intractable, let other countries fend for themselves. But history teaches us, from Pearl Harbor to 9/11, that oceans alone cannot protect us.
这个节目的名称是《一起毕业：美国表彰2020年高中毕业生》，由教育倡导组织 XQ 学院、勒布朗詹姆斯家族基金会和娱乐业基金会主办。奥巴马将对新冠病毒大流行对学校生活的影响进行反思，特别是为那些错过毕业典礼这个里程碑仪式的毕业生打气。美国之音新闻报道。
新冠隔离措施使得许多2020年的毕业生无法参加毕业典礼，许多的美国高校想出了办法，他们有的推迟了毕业典礼举行的时间，有的采取了虚拟典礼的措施。来看报道。
对于朱莉安娜·贝恩来说，她在康奈尔大学学习的四年间充满了兴奋和艰苦的努力。贝恩真的很期待毕业的到来，庆祝她大学生涯成功结束的仪式原本定于五月举行。
Graduation is 3 days long. There's a lot of events, but the main events are convocation and then our major ceremonies. So during commencement, the convocation speaker addresses the entire class, and this is usually a famous person. In the past, we've had Vice President Joe Biden, actor James Franco, and like Bill Nye, the science guy.
贝恩像其他成千上万的毕业生一样，没有盼来通知参加开学典礼的邮件。而是得到了活动已经取消的通知。
We knew that May graduation was going to be canceled a little bit earlier than we got the official announcement, since a lot of other Ivy League schools had already been announcing cancellations.
从三月起，一些大学如耶鲁、哥伦比亚和麻省理工学院等就纷纷宣布取消毕业典礼。现在的挑战是如何在家庆祝这一天。哈佛大学在网上举办所有官方的活动。约翰霍普金斯大学高级国际研究学院也将如此。
We would do a virtual ceremony, but we also have promised the students that when it's possible to bring people back together physically, we'll have something. We don't know what that something is because we don't, of course, know when we can all be together physically.
尽管高校的官方活动将在未来举行，但现在确定具体日期还为时过早。例如，波士顿大学正在考虑将其校门关闭到2021年1月。美国高校协会主席林恩·帕斯奎拉表示，取消典礼不仅令毕业生失望，也让整个教育体系感到沮丧。
Commencement ceremonies are important not only because they celebrate the academic accomplishments of graduates, but because they bring community together around shared traditions. And it's often a celebration that coincides with reunions, and so alumni can come back onto campuses and reflect on the ways in which their lives were transformed through higher education.
毕业生表示，他们理解学校根据疫情所做的决定，并希望从网上体验中获取最大收益。美国之音迭戈茨，华盛顿报道。
最近，一艘无人驾驶的飞船给国际空间站送去了几吨的物资。另一方面，哈勃望远镜则迎来了升空30周年的纪念日。
一艘俄罗斯运货飞船从哈萨克斯坦的发射台发射升空，运载了将近3公吨的物资。3个多小时以后，它与国际空间站对接，并将在那里停留至12月。与此同时，4月24日是哈勃望远镜发射进入轨道30周年纪念日。
The Space Shuttle Discovery with the Hubble Space Telescope, our window on the universe.
这座人类第一台太空望远镜数十年来提供了壮观的景象。哈勃望远镜最初的黑白相机配备了滤镜，可以分别捕捉纯红、纯蓝或纯绿色的图像。 这些图片叠加起来就为我们带来了今天所看到的彩色照片。保尔·赫茨博士对美国之音说，
Hubble has made a number of astounding discoveries in astronomy and astrophysics that have changed the way we see the universe. It was with Hubble that we determined that the universe is 13.8 billion years old.
哈勃望远镜已经进行了五次升级，并在2005年捕获了这张蟹状星云图像。赫茨称那是他最喜欢的。他说，哈勃拍摄的照片能改变地球上的生命。
The software that astronomers have you developed to find the most information in Hubble images is now being used in the medical profession to analyze CAT scans and search for tumors.
赫茨说，哈勃在1990年的预期寿命为五年，但是由于升级和维护，它很可能在整个2020年的十年间保持运行。他说，由于新冠病毒大流行，目前控制哈勃望远镜的操作员都在家里工作，因此望远镜的30岁生日庆典不得不推迟。美国之音记者阿拉巴萨迪华盛顿报道。
亚洲巨型大黄蜂因为身体硕大而又有致命的毒液，故而被称为杀手大黄蜂，已经在美国的华盛顿州首次露面。来看报道。
数以百计的亚洲大黄蜂已经首次出现在美国，该昆虫因其大小和致命毒液而被称为杀手大黄蜂，是世界上最大的大黄蜂，最长可达2英寸半。现在它们在华盛顿州接近加拿大边境的地区出现了。该州农业官员斯文·埃里克·斯皮奇格说，这种致命昆虫的入侵对蜜蜂乃至人类构成重大的威胁。
The first detection was in Washington State, was December 8th, and was turned in by a homeowner near Blaine, which is up by the Canadian border.And it's a fairly significant detection because Asian giant hornet has been on our watch list because of its, basically because of its known activity of killing entire honeybee hives.
斯皮奇格警告说，如果大黄蜂开始在美国各地蔓延，将会对授粉和农业系统造成灾难性的影响。只要几只大黄蜂，就能够在几个小时内消灭整个蜂巢，并用断头的方式杀死蜜蜂，然后再把蜂巢据为己有。用来养育自己的幼虫。斯皮奇格说，大黄蜂特别危险的地方是，它们在地面的巢穴十分隐蔽。
We really don't want any private citizen trying to mess with an Asian giant hornet nest. Typical beekeeping attire simply will not protect you. The stinger on this insect is 6 millimeters long and will go readily through most cloths.
斯皮奇格说，任何人只要发现巢穴，都应立即向当局发出警报。尽管大黄蜂通常不会以人为目标。但是他们在受到威胁时仍会发动攻击。
An Asian giant hornet will sting you multiple times and can sting you multiple times and deliver larger doses of venom just because of the size of them.
科学家们不确定这种杀手大黄蜂是如何进入华盛顿州的。他们说，最可能的情况是大黄蜂躲进了集装箱，而集装箱货轮最后又停靠在了华盛顿的一个港口上。斯皮奇格说，在发现第一只大黄蜂之后，又有数百人报告说发现了大黄蜂。美国之音电视新闻。
佛罗里达州将浪费数十亿美元的食物，在新冠疫情期间，由于物流和供应受到影响，很多的蔬菜和水果没有办法运往餐厅和超市，许多农民只能任其烂在地里。
佛罗里达州以数千公里的美丽海滩闻名，也有得天独厚的气候和土壤，那里盛产美国最好的水果和蔬菜。佛州有超过47000个商业农场，从柑橘、豆类到浆果，应有尽有。佛罗里达优越的气候和土壤吸引意大利美国人迪麦勒家族于1930年代从波士顿搬迁到这里。当年十几岁的多米尼克、约瑟夫、安东尼三兄弟开卡车卖水果，他们的生意居然成功了。他们开了头一家商店，接着又是一家。1945年，他们得以购进第一座商用农场。
I'm a grandson of one of the founders. My grandfather, who I'm named after, Anthony, and his two brothers started the company. 91-year-old company. Myself, my brothers and cousins are third generation in the family business. My father and his cousin, the two respective presidents for the Florida and California operations, are still very actively involved. I think we still have.About 10 family members involved in the family business.
如今，迪麦勒农场在加利福尼亚
德克萨斯、亚利桑那、宾夕法尼亚和马萨诸塞等几个州种植水果和蔬菜。最早受到新冠疫情影响的是该企业在佛州的番茄农场。
And unfortunately, because of the timing of the pandemic, with restaurants and the food service sector shutting down, 80% of our business is typically to the food service sector, the school systems, restaurants, cruise ship industry, the theme parks. So when the pandemic started and those sectors closed down, we were kind of dead in the water, so to speak.
佛罗里达有数以千计的农场都经历了迪麦勒的困境。他们竭尽所能应对局面，有些将食物提供给穷人或失业者，有些则以跳水价格出售产品。美国政府已拨款$3,490亿支持小企业，并保持工人的薪水。另外$95亿用于帮助因疫情而遭受损失的奶牛场和农场。鉴于封锁措施没有确定的结束日期，佛州的农民只盼着新冠病毒能在夏季减轻。
On top of the seasonal changes, social distancing could help bring the reproduction number below one. So synergistically, yes, but not seasonal changes alone. And I think that's consistent with what we've seen from other parts of the world where they are having ongoing transmission. Despite either being in the southern hemisphere, like Australia or and southern Africa that are outside the tropics or being in the tropics and having in many ways summer-like weather.
但是没有人可以肯定的预测，这也让像迪麦勒这样的企业面临破产的风险。美国之音安妮斯莫娃，迈阿密报道。
由于新冠病毒大流行，职业体育遭受了很大的损失，职业运动员也面临困境，因为他们没有办法按照正常的方式进行训练。来看报道。
数十个国家采取的针对新冠病毒的严格检验措施，已经导致全球众多体育赛事的取消和推迟，甚至将2020年日本夏季奥运会也推迟了一年。许多体育组织遭受了巨大的财务损失，美国橄榄球甚至申请破产，因为无法应对新冠病毒疫情造成的财务损失。
Then to have athletes that are simply locked in their houses, not able to train, not able to use public facilities.
对于职业网球选手库德里亚夫塞娃来说，2020年应该是丰收的一年，因为今年他规划在产后重返职业赛，而3月份。在一系列大型网球比赛，包括温布尔登网球公开赛取消后，他意识到现在情况已经大不一样了。他无法环游世界，而是在家和丈夫跟宝贝女儿待在波士顿家里。
I'm trying to take this time and just focus on getting physically better. I'm trying not to stress too much about not playing tennis. Trying to stay calm and hope for better things to come and to be even better prepared when the situation presents itself.
职业排球运动员乔西亚·拜尔斯在希腊的大型锦标赛取消后，不得不回到加利福尼亚。现在他几乎没有机会进行适当的训练。
Like the apartment complex that I'm in, like the gym is closed, so you know we don't have that much access to you know certain weight trainings that we normally would have in other places, so we have to.Kind of make our own workouts at home. People who dedicated so much time into their sports, like suddenly just have to stop. And you know, some people, you know, it was like their last year, and now they can't finish it. And so,
但是许多运动员认为这种疫情大流行并不应是感到沮丧的原因。著名的足球运动员、网球运动员和田径运动员开始使用在线快闪，跟他们的粉丝保持联系。分享他们的日常锻炼方式，并进行慈善工作。
We're sportsmen. We have responsibilities to you because you support us. And now is the time when we cannot fail you. Together with Pau Gasol, we're launching an initiative that will unite all professional athletes and help the Red Cross. Our goal is to raise €11 million to help those who suffered from the crisis.
如果说竞争心态教给了职业运动员什么，他们就会说，那就是没有障碍，只有挑战。全世界将渡过难关。美国之音记者穆斯卡尔科夫，华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。